The Force Field is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Listen to other great tech podcasts at www.techpodcasts.com.
From Charlotte, North Carolina, for IT service providers, it's The Force Field with Rick Savoia. And now, here is your host, Rick Savoia.
Greetings, providers. Welcome to the unofficial podcast for IT service providers, The Force Field. I am your host, Rick Savoia, and during the next half hour, we'll cover the news, views, reviews, and interviews for and about the IT industry and the Force Field community. Our call-in segment is open to all listeners Saturday nights from 10:30 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern. Call 407-278-5698. That's 407-278-5698. Or you can call in via Skype at Savoia Computer if you'd like to be part of the show. We discuss a lot of topics on the Force Field, and most are hot-button issues. One of the things I like about doing the show is that there's so many things in this industry to talk about. One of my favorite topics is something we discussed in a previous episode. We had some fun with it, and I'd like to try it again. In that episode, I noted that every technician has at least one tool in their toolkit that they rely on or use the most. One that has proven to be a must-have on every job and has proven itself to be most invaluable. We discovered that this tool is different from one provider to the next and is often a combination of both professional need and personal choice. This week, we're going to talk to a few providers and ask what their favorite tool is or which tool they rely on the most. But first, let's take a look at what's going on elsewhere in the IT industry. The Force Field will be part of the first 24-hour podcast hosted by Geek News Central this week to raise money for charity. On December 21, 2007, at 6 a.m. Hawaiian Standard Time, Todd Cochran, the host of the Geek News Central podcast, will start a live and interactive event that will last 24 hours. The purpose of the event is to bring awareness to podcasting and talk about technology, family, and life. He will also be raising money for the 2-for-1, One Laptop Per Child program. Through the months of November and December, Geek News Central audience members have contributed nearly $1,200 towards the purchase of 3 1 laptop per child laptop pairs. All monies raised will go towards the purchase of additional laptops, which will be raffled off at the end of the marathon. To be eligible for the raffle, a minimum $10 donation can be made via PayPal. The Force Field was invited to participate in the podcast marathon, and I signed on as a guest for half an hour Friday evening at 10:30 p.m. Eastern. Other podcasters and industry professionals will participate throughout the 24-hour podcast as well. During the 24-hour podcast marathon, Todd Cochran will stream live from his Hawaii-based studio on Ustream.tv and will have interactive talk on TalkShoe.com. If you would like to watch the Ustream stream and call in live to the podcast, you can find the links at geeknewscentral.com and at theforcefield.net. This week, I will be asking the listeners about their favorite tools. I have a few favorites of my own. One of the tools I rely on and use to communicate with the administrators of the Force Field web portal is GoToMeeting. GoToMeeting is an absolute must for any business, group, or organization who needs to keep their members on the same page. With GoToMeeting.com, it's just like we're all in the same room. We can chat, conduct training sessions, and share content with ease. GoToMeeting offers unlimited meetings for one flat rate, which means you can meet as often as you want for as long as you need. Try it yourself, free, for 30 days. Just visit GoToMeeting.com/techpodcasts. That's GoToMeeting.com/techpodcasts. Try GoToMeeting free today. Tell them you heard it on the Force Field. Microsoft announced it would release a release candidate for Windows XP Service Pack 3 for download to the public on its website December 18th. A Computer World article published this week quoted a Microsoft company spokeswoman, who was not identified, as saying that the release candidate would be available from the Microsoft Download Center. She also warned general users against installing the release candidate. As this is a release candidate, we strongly encourage only those who are comfortable installing the pre-release code to download Windows XP Service Pack 3, the spokeswoman said. Windows XP is considered by many as a competitor to Windows Vista, which has had slow adoption and a lackluster response from consumers and business in general. Microsoft has tried to minimize the influence of Windows XP in order to boost sales of Vista. The spokeswoman stated the release candidate does not contain major changes to the operating system. Windows XP Service Pack 3 does not bring significant portions of Windows Vista functionality to Windows XP, she said. The final version of the service pack is scheduled for release during the first half of 2008. Microsoft indicated that Service Pack 3 will be the last for Windows XP. And that's the news in the Force Field.
Still find yourself guessing about a PC's problems? Are you still swapping components? With PC Doctor Service Center 6, you can fix more computers in less time. Service Center 6 is a complete PC diagnostic kit for break fix repair technicians, system builders, and small scale manufacturers. Call 1-866-BUY-PCDR today and mention the Force Field podcast to get $49 off. For the last 14 years, PC Doctor has fine-tuned its diagnostics for four of the five top global PC manufacturers who now ship our diagnostics on 20 million PCs a year. From that experience, we have developed Service Center 6, an industry-leading professional offering with all the hardware and software necessary to fix a Windows or non-Windows PC. With Service Center 6, you will see an improvement in your business. Try us today with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Call 1-866-BUY-PCDR today, and until January 31st, 2008, mention the Force Field podcast to take an extra $49 off.
You're listening to The Force Field, and this is the part of the show I look forward to the most, as it is the opportunity to talk to my fellow professionals in the field. If you'd like to talk, you can call me at 407-CPU-JOY-8. That's 407-278-5698, or through Skype at Savoya Computer. If you don't have Skype, simply go to the Force Field Podcast Episodes page at www.theforcefield.net and click the Skype icon located on the right sidebar. The download is free, the call is free, and the show is free. And you can't beat free. So call in and dare to enter the Force Field. Every service provider performs their job based on what skills they have, what procedures best work for them, and what methods they are most confident using. Everyone has their preferred tool they use to perform the work and the one they depend on to get the job done right. This week, we're going to poll the providers and find out what tools they use and rely on most to get the job done. We'll discuss their preferences and why they depend on that tool to complete the job to their customers and their own satisfaction. Every provider has their preference, and every answer will be different. You may or may not agree with their choices. In any case, it will be an interesting, entertaining, and hopefully an enlightening exploration into another tech's toolbox as we talk to the providers and ask them, "What's your favorite tool?" And we're speaking to Renee. Renee, welcome to the Force Field.
Hello.
What's your favorite tool in your toolbox that you rely on the most or that you like the most or that you find yourself using the most, the tool that's most indispensable, that you really couldn't live without?
My screwdriver. It's a Phillips, and it's got interchangeable bits. Always go back to that one screwdriver.
And it's interesting because that has been an answer for a couple of other providers. They usually have a specific type of screwdriver that, I mean, they have a lot of screwdrivers, and then there's this one favorite one that they use that's what they have to have all the time.
Yeah, it's my favorite screwdriver. Always go to that screwdriver.
I've had a couple of interesting responses from some of the providers that had nothing to do with screwdrivers, had to do with certain other things that I never would have thought about, but
when I think about it, you know, I think, you know, that I think that would be handy to have. And I think it's really a personal choice. You know, it just depends on what you're doing more of in the field.
Yeah. Been doing a lot of installs and haven't needed my screwdriver much lately, but that's fine too.
Do you have any particularly favorite software tools that you use?
Oh, lately it's been AVG.
Oh, AVG? Yeah.
Yeah, I've been throwing that on a lot of computers, trying to get them off of Norton.
The free version?
Trying to get them away from Norton and McAfee.
Yeah, that's an ongoing battle, isn't it?
They just get their feet dug in with it, and they just some people just won't move away from it.
No,
no matter how free it is.
Well, I'm a Trend Micro reseller myself, so I generally try to steer people towards Trend Micro. But the reason I do that is because I only use and sell things that I would use myself, or that I do use myself, or I would use if I needed them, and Trend Micro was, and I've used a lot of them, but PC Cylon was one that I stuck with for over 10 years because I found right from the get-go that it seemed a lot more effective than definitely McAfee, which actually McAfee was the first one I tried. And their support's good, and I've used a lot of them. So I find myself recommending Trend Micro a lot. But AVG, yeah, AVG is a decent solution as well.
Counterspy?
Yeah. I've heard of that. I'm not real familiar with it.
It's by Sunbelt.
Oh, it's by Sunbelt?
And they have a evaluation copy that for the initial clean-out, and does a real good job on the initial, and it's quick.
It's like a 30-day?
Forever. Yeah, it's a 30-day. And if they like it, they can go ahead and buy it, and, you know.
You found it works well?
Yeah.
Renee, thanks for the call. I really appreciate it.
Alrighty.
Thanks again. Take care.
You too. Bye-bye.
And we're talking to Chris. Chris, welcome to the Force Field.
Hey, nice to be here.
Chris, what's your favorite tool? What's the tool that you rely on the most, the one that you can't really do without, the one that whenever you go on site or whether you're working at the bench, that's the one that you primarily reach for and that you rely on to get the job done?
Good question.
Your favorite tool?
It's actually kind of a combo. It's Nmap and Nessus. You can do so much with those. You can scan networks, check for vulnerabilities, check for misconfigurations, missing updates, pretty much anything. So great for going on site, and if you've got an issue with a network or anything, you can find computers that are open to the world, have things misconfigured, whatever along those lines. For just a tool on an individual computer, there's a thing called Windows PowerShell, which you can actually download from Microsoft's site. It's a real advanced command line thing. It's basically the command with scripting that you can do with it. You can actually write your own little spyware removal tools with it. You can write things to connect printers, you name it. Something that, you know, when you're a command line geek, that's like taking the command line times 10. So it's command line on steroids, basically. Very handy tool, and I do a lot of my work on command line, so that's definitely my favorite.
Now, where could we find the other tools?
Nessus is actually, if you, I don't know if it's Nessus.org still that has it. They got bought up by a commercial entity, but I'm pretty sure Nessus.org will get you there. Nmap is actually part of there. The Nessus tools, you can actually, if you've got a Linux distro, your package manager should be able to install it for you. The Windows version, I think you actually have to download the Nmap separately on it. Both of those, Nmap is great for any kind of, like if you're dropping packets, anything like that, you can send out different patterns. Basically, a real good networking tool.
Well, I'm going to have to check those out. Chris, thanks a lot for being on the Force Field. Feel free to call in any time.
Talk to you later then. Bye-bye.
Bye. And Cappy's with us on the Force Field. Welcome to the Force Field.
Thanks for having me.
What is your favorite tool in your toolkit? What is the one tool or the one item, it can be software, hardware, whatever, that you feel is indispensable the most indispensable tool that you find yourself using all the time?
Honestly, my X-Acto knife.
Your X-Acto knife?
I'm always having to open those stupid packages of cables or boxes of this, that, or the other, and keys sometimes just don't do it.
Well, yeah, that's true.
I use that X-Acto knife probably more than anything else. Other than that, it'd be my little universal screwdriver.
That's interesting you should mention that, because I do carry a little pocket knife around in my toolkit, but I never use it. I always wind up using a specific key on my keychain to open up computer boxes and things. Don't ask me why. It's just handy. It's right there in my pocket. I pull it out, and oh, yeah, you know, I can use the key, and it'll work. But an X-Acto knife...
Those cable boxes, man, those cable packagings, you know, the ones that they used to hang on pegs, man. I try to use a key on one of those. It doesn't work.
No, not really. Cappy, thanks a lot. I really appreciate your time. Feel free to call into the force field anytime.
No, thank you, Rick.
Take care.
You too. Bye-bye.
And we're speaking to Todd. Todd, welcome to the force field.
Thank you for having me.
Todd, what's your favorite tool in your toolkit, the thing that you rely on the most and what you find most indispensable in your toolkit?
Quite honestly, in my toolkit, the most important item I have, and I don't know if this falls under the guise of tools or not, is a shell prompt and a command shell. I mean, I work with Linux almost exclusively, and while there are thousands of different tools for Linux, being able to drop to a command prompt, a shell, and be able to run some basic commands to see what's going on is probably the most valuable thing, the most valuable asset that I have as far as troubleshooting any of the stuff that I work on.
Hmm. I take it you also have a number of Linux tools, pretty much CD bootable, or you bootable off a thumb drive?
Actually, what I normally carry is just an OPIC CD. With Linux, I mean, with any issues at all that happen with a Linux box, you can normally boot to any bootable Linux CD, drop to a shell, mount up the hard drive partitions that have the have Linux on them, and start poking around and adjust any configurations or, you know, repair something that went bad. There really aren't any magical point-and-click type tools that you would load on Linux to automatically get it to fix itself, but being able to get under the hood, I mean, it's a different way of thinking. With Linux, the whole operating system, the kernel, everything itself is basically just a bunch of configuration files. They're all human-readable for the most part, and anything that breaks can normally be fixed by changing a configuration file, so really about the only tool that you need is a bootable CD to be able to get into a shell and get access to the configuration files on the hard drive, and you can fix just about anything that that is broken. So I'd say, if you want to call that a tool, I would say a Linux bootable CD would probably be about the most valuable tool that I own. And I think that also that crosses over to the Windows environment, too. There's a lot of things that you can do with a Linux bootable CD to repair Windows.
That's true. I know of a number of providers, a number of techs out there that will carry a Linux ISO bootable CD to fix a lot of Windows problems, like spyware, virus issues, certain other, sometimes even hardware issues, just because sometimes, you know, Windows won't let them in, or they can't get into a Windows environment to fix it, and yet they can get in through a Linux environment.
Yep, if you've got a bootable CD-ROM or a bootable floppy or, a device that'll boot to USB and you've got a bootable Linux distro on a thumb drive, I mean, you're in. I think that's probably one of the Achilles heels of Windows as far as a security guy's point of view is that no matter how tight you lock down that Windows box and put all kinds of passwords on it and so on and so forth, if I have access to the CD-ROM, you're in.
Yeah.
You know, there's simple tools to basically get in and reset passwords and do some things that you probably shouldn't be able to do, and in the hands of the wrong people, that's not a good thing. But, yeah, I agree with you totally. I mean, you've got configuration problems. You've got spyware. You need to get in and edit the registry on a Windows box. You can boot to a Linux CD, and there are Linux tools that allow you to edit a Windows registry right from a bootable Linux CD.
File recovery. Sometimes it just can't be done with Windows or with a Windows PE disk of any sort, and you have to use something else to get in there and see them. I haven't been able to see any Windows files on that drive or can't get to them. Sometimes the drive isn't accessible at all. And some techs would say, well, this is a bad drive. Let's toss and get a new one. And I've been able to boot up from a Linux CD and get into the drive.
Yeah, and Nopix is great for that because it'll automatically mount those Windows partitions and display them right on the desktop.
What's your favorite distro, by the way?
I'm a Debian man. I like Debian Linux. I settled on that because of their apt package manager. It is one package manager that goes out, and when you attempt to install software, it will find all the dependencies that software requires and also install those. And that's one thing that kind of trips a lot of people up when they start with Linux is they'll use RPM or they'll use another package manager and go out and want to install some software and they'll start installing and it'll stop and say, wait a minute, I depend on X, Y, and Z being installed first. So then you have to manually go out and find X and Y and Z and get those installed and X1 installed till Z's installed. And I got tired of fighting with that. I used to use SUSE exclusively, and they've got a great package manager called YAST, but it doesn't automatically. It'll display the dependencies for any software you're trying to install, but it won't automatically go out and get them. And there were times where, after I'd installed a dozen of the dependencies, I literally forgot what I was trying to install in the first place. A little bit of research showed that Debian has about the best package manager. It automatically installed the dependencies, so I started playing around with that, and I settled on that about 2 or 3 years ago, and their package manager works from the command line, or there's a nice GUI front end for it for the point and click crowd. And Debian seems to be making about the biggest inroads as far as Linux acceptance at this point. Ubuntu is based on Debian, and Ubuntu seems to be the big distro that everybody's talking about.
Well, it seems to be more popular now, and there's several of them that seem to be coming to the forefront recently. And I think some of that is a combination of maybe streamlining a little bit for the masses and also backing from certain companies that have a little bit of clout to really be able to market and push it.
Yeah, I think the Dell support of Ubuntu is probably going to help quite a bit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no doubt about that. But, you know, as far as a tool is concerned, I consider a tool being anything that you use to get the job done. I mean, a tool could be hardware, software. You know, as a matter of fact, in the last show that we covered this, we talked to Dave Hendrickson. And he said that his tool, the thing that he relies on the most, is his brain. And I think that's one of the best answers because, yeah, you know, that's...
When all else fails, yeah.
Yeah,
I'd say Google would probably be another good one for us open source folks, too.
A lot of people rely on Google as a tool. I know I do from time to time for various things. You can't get away from that because it's such a repository of information. It's like having an entire database right there at your fingertips. And you know what? I found that if I come across a problem, the first thing I do is just research a little bit and Google it out. Chances are somebody else has already come across it and maybe has found a solution. And if, you know, some people frown upon that and say, you know, Google Tech, they're just lazy or they just don't know what they're doing. But you know what? To be honest, I think the people that stop and bother to do the research and read the manuals first before they dive into doing it, particularly in areas that they're not really sure about, and, you know, there's so much new technology out there and so many new things are going on that it's impossible to be a MacGyver anymore. And if you've got something like that at your disposal and it's going to save you a little bit of time and effort and you can find an answer there or you might be able to find an answer there, I think that's actually smart, a smart thing to do.
I agree completely. A mentor of mine years back basically stated, you know, concerning the Google text that we're referring to, is not knowing how to do something doesn't necessarily make you a bad tech. What makes you a good tech is to be able to find the information to do what you don't know how to do, disseminate that information, and then complete the task at hand. And if you're smart enough to do that, you're a good tech.
Well, precisely. Precisely. Well, Todd, thanks a lot for your thoughts and views on the force field today.
Okay, thanks. You have a good day, Rick.
Yeah, you too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Well, folks, our time is up. I would like to thank everyone for listening, my kids for allowing me to do this without interruptions, and my wife for just putting up with me. If you would like to comment on the program, you can email me at rick@theforcefield.net or visit our website at www.theforcefield.net. Opinions expressed are those of the hosts and guests and do not represent the Force Field, Savoia Computer, or advertisers. All music on the show is original and was written and performed by Brother Rancid and the Brand New Pygmies. Our announcer is Felix DeCat. The show is produced and distributed by Savoia Computer. For the Force Field, I'm Rick Savoia. May the Force Field be with you.